On Wells Tech this week, we conclude our review of the book from Gar Reynolds, Presentation Zen, an important chapter talking about engaging with your audience. Good stuff. Talk about how Steve Jobs did it and some of the tips that Gar learned over his time there at Apple. I review the Surface Pro from Microsoft. Sally has come up with a great tag cloud application that anybody interested in creating really dynamic and pretty tag clouds from Bible verses or whatever, you're not going to want to miss that. All that and some great listener feedback. Stay tuned. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back to Wells Tech, episode 288 for, what is this, May 14th, 2013. Sally, for some reason, I have a note in my mind map that says we're pre-recording this on May 9th.
Yeah, who would think such a thing?
Why would we do that?
Well, I think we might do that because you had a little trip scheduled. Although I was wondering if you really truly are in Hong Kong this morning, this evening, slash whatever it may be. Because, you know, I can't tell. You could be sitting in your own living room.
I could be anywhere. This could be Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think Wells Tech is going global this week, and for a good reason. We did pre-record on May 9th, and unfortunately, that recording was not good. Got flubbed up by our friends at Google for some reason. The YouTube version was messed up. So here we are recording globally, you in Hong Kong.
Hang on a minute. I think I can semi-prove where I am.
Okay. I want to see this.
So I just pulled this right off of missionary Rob Cirilla's desk. So. I don't know if that really proves it, but I suppose this could be anywhere too.
You're going to translate for us?
Yeah. No, I'm not. Anyway, I'm a missionary Rob Cirilla's flat in Hong Kong. I'm over here for the Asia Lutheran Seminary Group and helping them kind of figure out where they're going with technology. And this is the second time in Hong Kong in less than 8 months, I guess. So.
Wow, going global on us. Very exciting. Thanks for taking the time to join us. We are 15 hours apart, I think. It's 9 o'clock at night there,
13.
8 o'clock in the morning.
Only 13, yeah.
Okay, only 13 hours. And so
through the wonders of technology, we're here with the show. So show 288 is a show where we wrap up our discussion of a book we've been reviewing probably for the better part of 8 or 9 months. Mm-hmm. Presentation Zen, and this is chapters 10, 11, those of you following along at home. This chapter is chapter 10 is really the one we're going to focus on. It is all about the need for engagement. So the book is really about presentation design and delivery. This chapter is really all about delivery. You've got the presentation pegged. You have all your materials put together. How do you make this a presentation that your audience is going to pay attention to and it's going to have some impact for?
Right. It's all about making that connection with the audience. And I think we've all sat through presentations where we didn't really have a great connection with the speaker. And Gar does a great job of analyzing and sharing with us ideas that make a difference in your presentation. Some of them are pretty simple, but have a big impact.
Yep. There were just an endless variety of different quotes we could pull out of this, but I hit a few that I thought would kind of highlight what the core of the chapter was. And as you mentioned, Sally, a lot of them are just plain old common sense, but they're good to go through. One of the quotes that I like was early on in the first couple paragraphs of the 10th chapter here. In business, our natural instincts are always left-brained. We create tight arguments and knock the audience into submission with facts, figures, historical graphs, and logic. The bad news is that the barrage of facts often works against you. my facts against your experiences, emotions, and perpetual filters. Not a fair fight. Facts will lose every time. So it's the whole right brain, left brain thing. And appealing to the left brain, the facts and the figures, especially for somebody in a classroom situation, that's kind of the easy route. It's easy in a traditional, you know, educational model to say, here are the facts and figures you need to learn. And if you learn them, then good. But really, that's probably the least effective presentation approach.
Yeah, I love that that we want to knock our audience into submission, and you can just see them coming to their knees at the power of our presentation. No, not the way to take your approach to your presentation. Instead, you want to lead them down a path and help them discover and comprehend what you're trying to explain without the in your face kind of, I'm the powerhouse here and know what I'm talking about.
Right. There's a good illustration or a couple of slides that do a nice job of kind of bringing this, this point home. There's a slide of a bicycle, and Sally's showing it there, that says it's not the thing. So a nice picture, a product slide. But the next slide says it's the experience, and there's a guy on a mountain bike, riding over a mountain. So which is going to have more impact, which is going to touch the emotions, the right brain of your listening or viewing audience? It's going to be the act of doing, so they can place themselves in the situation versus this product shot. While it's detailed, that's just the facts and figures. What are you going to do with the thing that he's talking about?
Right. I'm a lot more interested in the experience for sure. I don't really care what kind of shock absorbers are there. I care that they carry me over the mountain and I have a great time doing it.
It's not the thing. It's the experience. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then the next section, which I thought was interesting, was all about this concept of curiosity. And the audience can relate to a presenter who is very passionate and very curious about the topic themselves. Quote is that says, the best presenters and the best teachers are the ones who demonstrate their curiosity and passionate interest in their subjects. And you can probably think back to your own classroom experiences and the teachers that you like the most. You could tell we're excited to be there and we're excited about their topic, or constantly trying to learn more along with the class.
Definitely. As a teacher, I think I can relate to this because I always feel like if I know my subject, I can teach it to anyone. You know, if I'm confident in what I'm teaching, then I can convey that subject. And, you know, I've taught a variety of different things, and even dull system presentations on what each button does can be taught with passion if you understand the inner workings of the system and you can relate it to your audience, how important it is and things like that. So I think knowing your subject well, I was always in awe of the training that my husband received through MLC in the seminary. The fact that he knew God's word so well through that training would equip him to teach with passion God's word. And I think it definitely applies there as well.
Absolutely. And the next section that was kind of striking for me, because I never really thought about this, was entitled Remove Barriers to Communication. And they talk about the physical environment within which you present. And they talk specifically about the negative space that's created when you have a lectern or a podium between you and your audience. This should probably speak to a lot of our pastors. And they show some interesting photos there and some interesting studies that they've done, that you've got an immediate barrier, a separation between you and your audience, that the great presenters are as close to the audience as possible. They're not separated by a computer screen. They're not separated by something they're holding, to read. They're not separated by this thing that's hiding them. They're part of the action.
Yeah, this reminded me of the TED Talks and the format where the people are out in front of the large screen. They have no podium. They have no notes. It's just right. Them and the audience. And, you feel like you are a lot more connected to them. And, you know, they're going to sink or swim right there along with you. And they don't have any crutches or any secret weapons that they're hiding from you that, you know, are influencing their presentation. It's just you and them.
Right. And the example that they use, and then he goes into a long kind of call out on Steve Jobs. Whenever you have watched any of his keynotes, if you've caught any of them, he's just out there by himself. If there is a visual, it's obviously big and behind him, but it's really just him and the audience. And he builds that rapport and that relationship with nothing in between. So he's not chained to a podium. He's not chained to a microphone per se. So he always has a wireless mic. Those are just some tools that make it a scenario or situation that he can flourish in. And I think most speakers, if they know their stuff and don't have to kind of be chained to that lectern or manuscript, are going to be freer, and it's going to be more of a conversation and more listenable.
Definitely. So Gar goes through this whole multi-page explanation of Steve Jobs' techniques. He analyzes all the different tools that he makes use of to connect with his audience, including things like knowing when not to use slides. So
yeah,
he's not
okay.
bound to you having
have to use slides. Yeah,
exactly. And even on stage, it's just multimedia is not necessarily needed in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Instead, you want to be very clear and very focused on what you're trying to convey. I like to think of it as starting at the end of your presentation and leading your audience down a path to get them to that point, you know, so that everything you're doing is working toward that final goal, what you want them to take away from the presentation.
And that's kind of related, what you just brought up, Sally, is related to another one that's a little bit down the line here that says, give them an idea where you're going. So they have an idea of what journey you're about to take them on. It shouldn't necessarily be a mystery. You know, I mean, we've talked about the art of storytelling in presentations, and that was actually a whole chapter in this book. But they want to kind of know where they're headed, what they're doing there, and what they can expect so that there is some kind of flow and cadence and rhythm, you know, to what's going on. And that also applies to the other point that he's trying to make here, develop rapport with the audience. One thing that I found to be real helpful when I do presentations is to, rather than, you know, kind of busying yourself with presentation prep as people are walking in, talk to them, you know, walk around the room, introduce yourself, get a sense for who these people are, especially if they're people that you haven't met before, you know, have some conversations. That not only gets them used to you, but that gets you warmed up as well with them. So I think that's a great bit of advice.
Then when you're actually doing the presentation, a few points: show your enthusiasm, be positive, upbeat, and humorous. So, you know, don't be afraid to be real there. I think mm-hmm. you and I are pretty real on the podcast, Martin. You know, if it's snowing outside or if there's a heat wave in Sleepy Eye, you know, you hear about it. You hear about our real lives and things like that. And I think that helps us.
We're real people, yes.
Yeah, to know our audience. And you know, there's been multiple times that I've had people introduce themselves to me and make comments about me personally where I've only connected with them through the podcast. But we definitely have a real connection because of that.
Right. Then he goes on to talk about some of the visuals that Steve Jobs used, which were obviously very simple, very few words on the screen, which we've talked about in the past. So make it visual. Introduce something unexpected. You know, Steve Jobs' kind of famous closing, you know, segment of a keynote was the Just One More Thing, where it was kind of the big splash, the new release of the iPhone or the iPad or whatever it is. So you know, keep them engaged not only with the quality of the material, but some things that maybe they didn't even expect.
Yep, vary the pace and change techniques and go the appropriate length are two more points.
I see violated all of it. I do that too, right?
Yeah, it's hard to time your presentations, and a lot of times I have a quantity of knowledge that I need to share, and however long it lasts is how long it lasts, but you do want to be respectful of your audience. If anything, you know, finish 5 minutes sooner than expected, but try not to go over. That's not a good way to develop rapport for sure.
Yeah, I think part of that is if you're a little bit scared, you over prepare the material. So you've got more material than you actually need because you're figuring, well, what if I get through this in a half an hour and I have an hour spot? Mm-hmm. That rarely happens though. If your material's good, there's going to be that interaction and that play between audience and presenter. At least that's your goal. If your material's bad, it really doesn't matter. If your material's bad, it's probably good that you're done in a half hour for an hour slot. Mm-hmm. One thing that I do when I prep slides is I'll go through and I'll do the slides as I normally would. And what I'll do then is go back over the slides and probably pull out about 2/3 of them and try and whittle it down to about the 30% that are the absolute best. I may add a point or two to each one of those or wrap some other stuff around it. But I know that just kind of the way I do slides, I always prepare too many. I almost kind of put a time frame around the slide. So I kind of use about the 3 to 5 minutes per slide rule. So if I've got an hour, then I just divide that by 3 or 5 and I understand how many slides I can fit in there. Normally when I'm fleshing out the presentation to begin with, I've got about a slide a minute. So it's pretty easy to kind of weigh that and say, you know, this isn't going to work. Because it's really not just a slideshow, and Gar talks about that you don't want this to be your Uncle Charlie's slideshow where you're just clicking through the slides and saying, well, here's my vacation, this is where I went fishing, I caught the bass here, and here's little Joey catching his bass. I mean, it's not about that. These are visuals to enhance the presentation. They aren't the presentation. So.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking if you do finish in 30 minutes instead of the full hour, then there's always those tap dance lessons that your mom invested in that you can, you know, be real and put on a different show of some kind. Yeah. I can't say I've ever had the problem of having too little material.
No,
typically,
that's true.
You know, with the interaction with the audience and questions and things that come up, you know, is typically plenty of material to cover the time. So don't overdo it is great advice. And finally, save the best for last. So it's nice to have a little surprise ending or something to maybe keep them on the edge of their seats and wanting to learn more when they go back to their own computers or whatever it may be.
Yeah. One other thing that it appears toward the end of the chapter also talks about how you interact with your own slides. They say always to use, or Gar says always to use a remote, and don't look at your slides. Continue to look at the audience. Know what you're doing. Know how your slides are put together so that you really don't have to look down, just progress through them as you normally would. And I think that applies to if you're using slide technology for sermons or whatever, if you're cranking your head around or looking down at your computer to know where things are, then that's a distraction. That's another barrier. And that disrupts the flow of a conversation that you're trying to have with the audience.
Definitely. I always wonder who people are talking to when they turn around and look the other way at the slide instead of at the audience, you know, hello, I'm over here.
And it's really a crutch, you know, it really is. It becomes your manuscript.
Definitely. Sure. So another good piece of advice, maybe taking it a step further from what Gar wrote even, is to spend some time analyzing your presentations after the fact. So when you do a presentation, you know, honestly look at whether you had that connection with the audience and what you can do to improve upon that the next time you present.
Absolutely. So that is Presentation Zen in 8 or 9 easy lessons, Sally.
Yep. And you can learn more at presentationzen.com. We thank Mr. Gar Reynolds for writing a great book. And we've definitely learned a lot throughout the year and look forward to some greatly improved presentations throughout all of Wellsdom and all of our audience.
Yep. And in the spirit of Presentation Zen, as we move along here in the show, Sally, we're going to introduce something unexpected, right? New segment to the show.
Something new for Wells Tech. That's right. Full of surprises here. I'm going to do a quick screen share and show you a new tab on our website. It's up here along the top bar, and it's called Reviews. So we've introduced a new page on our site to house reviews of whatever your favorite products are. We're inviting our audience to be part of this review page, sharing information on hardware, software, websites, whatever it is that aids you in your ministry. And we would like you to send us a review, and those can be written reviews. You can record a audio message for us, or we'd love to have some YouTube video reviews to include in our show and our video podcast as well. Pastor Matt Arnold was kind of the impetus for us to put this into place because he took the time to write up a great review of his Nexus 7 tablet. And in this review, he covers all kinds of ministry uses. He says this is a man who never wanted a tablet and now finds himself not wanting to be without it. So he's really excited about the things he can do with his Nexus 7 to further his public ministry. And he goes through even some apps and things that he recommends. So if you're in the market for an Android tablet, a Nexus 7, here's a great review for you to consider. And we thank you, Pastor Arnold, for submitting that. What's in it for you guys? Why would you bother to send us a review? Well, we'd love to learn from you for one thing, but we're also going to have a drawing over time as we receive more of these reviews. We're going to give away some fabulous prizes. So be part of our reviews page and tell us what is helping you in your ministry efforts.
Yeah, that's the part of this I like, Sally. When somebody's submitting a review, hopefully it's going to be from a pastor, teacher, somebody in a ministry situation where they're reviewing the product, not from just ones and zeros, yay and nay kinds of review perspectives, but how this fits into ministry, how it's useful for ministry. And that's really what our show is all about. It's not just about technology, but technology and ministry and where those two meet. So I'm really excited to see what our listening audience can come up with, because there's all kinds of tools out there. We've heard from many of you already about different things that you use. Can be websites, can be hardware resources, can be open source products. All those things, even tips and tricks that you found to be helpful. So that's really, I'm looking forward to this segment.
Yep, and let us hear from you soon. We're anxious to build our page. It's kind of sparse right now.
Yep, so submit that. YouTube would be great if you would do a video. That would be actually preferable, but we'll take any format.
Definitely.
Let's move on, Sally, to our picks of the week. What do you got this week?
Well, my pick of the week is a word cloud website called Tagzeto. And with Tagzeto, you can create some really nice word clouds, and it allows you to do shapes as well. Now, you may be thinking, why on earth are you talking about word clouds? But there is a ministry application I'm excited to share. The reason I looked at Tagzeto is because of Lakeside Lutheran High School and their Facebook page. One of the things that's fun to do with your audience on Facebook is share visuals and videos and things like that, and kind of invite discussion or allow them to share them further and that kind of thing. And they had some great visuals the last couple of months using Tagzeto, where they took Bible verses and made shape-based images to share.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And this example that I'm showing on the screen right now is an umbrella shaped of the Bible verse Psalm 148 verse 13, and they shared this in April with all the April showers. And it talks about His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and there's just beautiful representation of God's word in the word cloud.
Neat passage and a good picture to use with it, yeah.
Definitely. And then in May, they followed up with some May flowers, a flower-shaped word cloud with Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you with graduation season.
Good confirmation
season
verse, yeah.
Confirmation and everything. So I thought it was just an excellent use of a Web 2.0 tool, Tagzeto, for ministry. And it's really easy to copy and paste text right into here to choose different shapes and then to save the image and be able to save it and share it on places like Facebook or on your website or wherever it may be. So that's my pick of the week, tagzeto.com.
Very nice. Thank you, Sally. Let's see if I can share my screen for some reason.
In Hong Kong, do they allow that?
I don't know. What's going
I bet I
on
can
here,
share it
Google?
for you. See if I
Please.
can bring it up.
I've got it. I've got my pick actually in my hot little hands anyway. But my pick of the week is a hardware device, a new laptop slash tablet, and it's one of Microsoft's first forays into computing hardware. They're predominantly a software maker. They have made gaming devices, but never really a computer. And it's the Surface Pro. The Surface RT came out about 6 months ago, and that's kind of a iPad competitor at about the same price. The Surface Pro is a tablet. It's a hybrid device. It's a tablet and a computer, a full-blown computer. So you have Windows 8 running on this. And let me show everybody. I've got it right here.
So it
So
made the short list of things to pack for Hong Kong. That's speaking pretty highly
it
of it.
did, absolutely. So here's the tablet itself. And you can see that it's got, those of you familiar with Windows 8 know that it's got this new tile interface. And as I'm scrolling through all the available items, you have all the apps here that you normally would have on the desktop, plus some that are specifically made for the tablet. It's about 11 inches diagonal, beautiful screen. And it also comes, or you can get a keyboard with it, which is really nice. It has a touchpad on it, and the travel time on the keys, so for instance, from when you touch it to when you hit bottom is decent. So it's not the keyboards that sometimes come along with some of these tablets that is you can't feel what you're typing, and touch typists really don't like them because you can't do that. But the tab, this version comes with 128 gigabyte SSD hard drive, so it's I can load up. From the time I press the power button to the time I can start using the computer is about 6 or 7 seconds. So it's very quick. Battery life, about 4 to 5 hours, but obviously very portable. And so easy to take on a trip. It's not very heavy. It's probably about the same weight as an iPad. It's probably in that general neighborhood. It's a little bit thicker. If you're watching, you can see that it's a little bit thicker than a. Than an iPad. The RT was a little bit thinner than this, but they do have to pack some battery in there. It's an i5 processor, so those of you familiar with the Intel processors and buying computers recently, you've kind of got three choices: i7, i5, and i3. So it's kind of middle of the road there, but it runs every program that I will throw at it, including the Office suite. Including the Adobe products too, like Photoshop and InDesign, those kinds of things run real seamlessly on here. The interface is Windows 8, so that you have your touch applications, but you also can go to the desktop, and there you can see that I'm running our mind map right as I would on my regular computer. So it's a device that is great for traveling, but also if you bring it back to the office, you can hook it up to an external monitor, use whatever keyboard you want and mouse, and you've got a full-blown computer as well. So it's truly that portable computing thing, and you get the benefit of having a touch tablet that you can hold in your lap. You can draw, and it comes with a stylus. So you can actually do some nice drawing. One bad thing I think about using styluses with like the iPad is that you can't really write on it by holding your by resting your wrist on the surface itself, because the iPad isn't smart enough to not know that you don't want to write with your wrist. When you use a stylus with the Surface Pro, it recognizes that, hey, you've got a stylus. I'm not going to register anything but the stylus, the tip of the stylus. So you can do some note taking with that freehand note taking without fear of kind of being challenged by the fact that you're touching it in multiple places. So starting price $899, so it's not the cheapest, but if you consider that you got a tablet and a computer all in one, and that fits your ministry need, then then it's not a bad buy at all. And I'm very impressed with what they've done with it. It comes with a little kickstand so that you can prop it up, keyboard cover, just a very, very high quality piece of equipment. So that's the Surface Pro.
One of the things my tablet became when I started carrying it with me everywhere was my go-to camera and video camera. Yep. I assume it has that capability as well.
Front and rear. Yeah, front and rear cameras. I have not done a lot with the front camera, but I have used Skype and Google Hangouts with it, and it works great. It's a good quality camera as well. So
excellent. Well, thanks for your review.
It does have a little bit of a fan in it because it is a full-blown computer, but it's very quiet. You can hardly hear it. So nice. Okay. It's a nice setup. So
awesome.
Should we move along, Sally?
Yep. Time to talk about our busy calendar, Martin. The days are approaching. That's right. And one particular day we want to make sure everyone's making note of is September 14th, when we will be hosting our first ever Wells Tech Camp on the campus of Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota. This is a day-long unconference where we will gather all these techie minds and divide up into groups and talk about whatever you can think of that relates to tech and ministry. We can talk about productivity, classroom technology, technology for ministry, Bible, digital Bibles, all kinds of different things. Whatever it is that's on people's minds that they want to talk about, that's what the day is dedicated to. We have a great team of people involved in putting this Wells Tech Camp together for you, including Shelley Karstens from Peace in Hartford, Rachel Pearson from Trinity in Waukesha, Jason Schmidt from the Bennington Public School District in Nebraska, and Dr. Jim Grunwall from Martin Luther College, the Director of Academic Computing. So we are very thankful for their input as we're crafting this day for you, and just look forward to meeting everyone face-to-face. Hope you can be there. The price tag is free, so come and join us for a day of tech and ministry at Martin Luther College.
And it's even better than free because you get food along with it. So.
That's right. If this isn't good enough, come for the free food. Their cafeteria is awesome. So
it is. All right. It is. Yeah, that's not the typical cafeteria food there.
No. Another date to remember, fast approaching the deadline for registration for the Google Education Summit being held this summer, June 17th through 21st, pre-conference check-in on June 16th at Wisconsin Lutheran College. This is all about the Google Chromebook and the things that you can do with Google Apps, particularly in your classroom. And you get a free Chromebook out of the deal. You can get 3 college credits by completing some requirements during the week. And you get to interact with a lot of great teachers and learn about what they're doing in their classrooms. So conference price is $19.50, but don't let that dissuade you, because you can get a $200 discount on that registration price by using the promo code WellsTech. So get registered. The registration deadline is May 31st.
Our thanks to Joe DeFore for making us aware of this, for doing the conference, and also for giving us that discount code where you can get $200 off the course.
I'm looking forward to being there myself. And Martin, you and I are planning a special Wells Tech live remote from the Google Education Summit. We're actually going to be at Discovery World Studios on June 19th to record a Wells Tech episode.
I think what we should do, Sally, is go Google exclusively for that show, of course, and both use Chromebooks. I've never actually used a Chromebook for this show, so that would be a good test of the Google experience.
Okay. I'm up for it. Well, hopefully they'll have taught me enough about my Chromebook by the time we get to that date. We'll see.
That's right. Very, very good. Let's move on to community feedback.
And we have a great amount of feedback to share, including a video from Lakeside Lutheran High School. They recently did a community recycling event. We talked about that previously on the podcast. And they put together a final video that shows some imagery and video from that day and the massive quantity of electronic recycling that they received there at Lakeside. So we'll make sure and include that video in the show notes.
Cool. Yeah, and thanks to Ted Klug there. Saw him a couple weekends ago. He was a co-presenter or presenting following a presentation I was doing at a congregation. And they're doing some neat things there. And it's spreading a little bit. A lot of the early Lutheran high schools are talking to each other taking some of the good ideas that some of them come up with and expanding them, making their own. So good stuff. And this is just an example of that.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Next up, we heard from our friend Cindy Krieger in Michigan. Cindy works with a fellow named Dan Lorman and had shared Dan's previous book with us about virtual integrity. Dan has a brand new book that she wrote to us about last week. It's called BYOD, Bring Your Own Device, The Guide to Bring Your Own Device to Work.
Sharing a different screen there. I'm seeing a picture of me. Not good.
Well, sometimes those screen shares kind of flip on you when you pick one and it selects a different one. So that's my excuse, at least. Okay. So now
BYOD
we have it right.
For you. Yep.
The Guide to Bringing Your Own Device to Work, where he looks at the positive things associated with having employees have their own devices at work and ways to manage that as well. We've heard a lot about bring your own device to school, but Dan has a different look. It's a Kindle book. It's only $2.99. I bought a copy. I hadn't had a chance to crack it open yet, but maybe that's a little vacation reading for me.
Nice.
Yep, looking forward to it. Several links shared by our friend Tom Rosenau, who's a principal at St. John's in Pigeon, Michigan, and part of our DIGO group, where you can just easily tag websites you come across that would be of interest to the entire Wealth Tech audience, including this flowchart, which Creative Commons license is right for you. Found this really helpful, Tom. Thanks for sharing. Creative Commons is a place where you can license your work for easily sharing on the web. So you don't just control complete copyright. You allow people to make copies of it and redo it if they want or whatever, as long as they give you attribution. And this kind of walks through. There's a lot of different versions of Creative Commons licensing. And so this helps you decide which one is right for you for the product you're trying to share.
This is a nice kind of a Creative Commons for Dummies approach, which is what I need, because there are so many options and configurations, and you really have to read the fine print to understand the differences. And this really makes it easy, where you're answering yes or no questions all the way through the diagram, and you come out the other end with the exact one that you need.
Gets a little complex at times.
This would be good, I think, to go through with a classroom too, as you're teaching about copyright law, which is, I think, really necessary even at the grade school level, as they're consuming online resources and determining what's fair game and what's not. So,
definitely.
Good stuff. Thanks, Tom.
All right. Another link from Tom is to an article about Coursera. They're going to offer a new set of online course options targeting teacher education. The bulk of this informational post is that teachers are able to get continuing education through some of these multi-user online course initiatives that are out there from Stanford, from Princeton, from all these different schools that are putting coursework online and tying that to continuing education units. And Tom's comment was, I'm intrigued by the use of something like this for continuing ed. Anybody use or have experience using something similar? So let us hear from you if this is part of your experience for continuing ed credit.
Yeah, I have not heard of this particular product, so I'd be interested to learning a little bit more.
Yeah. A link to a Firefox and Chrome plugin. It's SlickWrite, and it analyzes your writing for errors. So you install this and tell it to analyze the writing, and it gives you feedback and critique on your writing. So perhaps something that can improve your blogging if you're interested in starting a new blog or whatever it may be. And it's as simple as a plugin for your browser. And speaking of browser plugins, there was an excellent Life Hacker article with the best Chrome apps you're probably not using, where it lists different apps and things that you can install in your Chrome browser for writing code, for editing audio. I hadn't heard of Twisted Wave, where you can do audio editing online. For Pomodoro, where you can actually take your productivity
one of your favorite tools.
Online. Yeah. That's right. Keep you focused and give you breaks along the way. And then even for things like editing video with WeVideo. So there's definitely some new things in this Lifehacker article that I wasn't aware of. And, you know, going Chrome with my Chromebook soon, I'm going to be looking for these kind of Web 2.0 apps that I can use in the Chrome operating system. So good find. I tagged an article on Digo as well. It's by my friend Michael Kneprath, who's a Bethany grad. And he just wrote about, it's called The Wasted Sermon. And it's basically about repurposing your sermon text for sharing online. So you're getting more bang for your buck by designing a graphic to go with it, by sharing your sermon on a website or through social media. And then not just sharing it, but starting conversation, engaging people around the text of the sermon and inviting conversation around that. So I think he put it very well in this blog
Great.
Post.
Nice thoughtful article. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. And then finally, via Digo, we heard from Ryan Rosenthal, and he shared a link to a page called Math Open Reference. And this was impressive to me.
You like this one, don't you?
Yeah, I'm all about the math resources. And this was started as a geometry online textbook, basically open source, so anyone could use it. And so it's very heavy into the geometry, but they're expanding it to other areas of math as well. And they have very great interactive things. For instance, I clicked on acute triangle, and you can see a quick demonstration of how you can drag any of the points and play with this triangle as an example. So an acute triangle has three angles that are less than 90 degrees. And you can play and see all different examples, but when you get over 90 degrees, you can see it changes and tells you, nope, that's not an acute triangle anymore. That's an obtuse triangle. So the learner is interacting with the tools right there online, and there's just some really great ones. I saw one demonstration, I don't have it up right now, of a construction, and it shows the compass drawing the different things that are part of the construction and drawing lines with a straight edge and all kinds of things like that as well. So I concur, Ryan, with your find here. I think this is a great find, and for any math teacher, especially with geometry, there's just great resources here.
Sweet. Nice.
Nice to see the development. Martin, you had an article that you shared as well. Let me see if I can bring that up.
Yeah, it's edtechmagazine.com, which is a magazine that it's an online magazine that focuses on K-12. And they had a column in their tactical advice category called Why Our School is Going Beyond Printed Newsletters, subtitled Stapled Pages Sent Home in a Student's Backpack Don't Cut It in the Digital Age. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And they talk about different reasons why that printed newsletter needs to be more than it is, and some of the some of the facts and figures to back that up. But then also some approaches. So instead of using just a print newsletter, consider using blogs. Consider Facebook and how that fits in, Twitter and the other social networks. And differentiating the delivery of the information may call attention to it a little bit more. It's always a struggle to get the parents to read some of this stuff. So there are different channels, different distribution channels at your disposal now, and many of them are significantly cheaper than that printed newsletter. So the great article that they posted here from May 7th that is probably worth a read, especially if you are considering maybe going to your school board or, you know, talking about this at the faculty level, saying, hey, do we really, you know, should we be doing more with our communications?
Excellent. Thanks for finding that. Lastly, I heard from my friend Karen Thomas, who has been developing the website at St. Peter Evangelical Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. And Karen and I have corresponded quite a bit with different questions and ideas that she's had for the website. And most recently, I know that Karen is a Wealth Tech listener because she has created a Keep Calm image. We talked about this as one of my picks for the last couple of weeks. And she did a great one. Keep calm and the Lord himself will fight for you with the Exodus link there as well. I was really excited to see this because I think this is exactly the kind of thing that you could share via social media and generate some conversation around, and other people may share it further and stuff. Just a creative use of one of the memes on the internet today and using it for gospel outreach. So great job, Kieran. Thanks for listening.
Absolutely. And if you are a listener, viewer, and want to contribute something that you think is useful and that you'd like to share with everybody, wellstech.wells.net is the show notes page where you can see all previous shows, all of our picks, all of our listener feedback. And you can go there. You can leave a voicemail. There's a send a voicemail link on the right side of the page there. There are all kinds of social network avenues to get your information to us. Or you could send us a good old-fashioned email, wellstech@wells.net. So please do contribute, and I think that's what makes this show worth listening to, and that's the fact that we have people, you know, whether they're every week listeners or once in a while listeners, just their contributions are really worth the time spent.
Definitely. Next week, Martin, you're going to be home in the good old USA, and we're going to talk about online member directories. We have an interview coming up with Concordia Technology Solutions' Peter Frank. We deal with Concordia Technology with the Shepherd Staff software, which is a local software for membership management. But they've gone online with Church 360, and Peter's going to tell us about some of the benefits and exciting things that are part of the online software offering. And we'll look at other member directory options as well.
Yep. So if you're in the market for that or want to know if you're doing the right thing the right way, not that we have all the answers, but we have some good resources for you to consider. So tune in next week for that. Okay. That is going to be about it from Hong Kong and from Sleepy Eye, I think. Sally, you're going to start your work day, and I'm going to go to bed. good show. Thank you for round two of
That's
episode
right.
288. And we'll cross our fingers, yes. Let's close the show with the music of Michael Schrader, his song Holy, Holy, Holy. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Saints.
your name in earth, the sky, and the sea.